ER-101. Get the 411 on your 911. Here's your host and emergency room physician, Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, and welcome back to ER-101. My guest, Dr. Nathan Schlicker, is here to talk about it. He's been a state senator, so he knows firsthand, as both an ER doctor and a state senator in Washington, the problems with mental health treatment in this country. And, you know, we were just talking about how patients are getting dumped into the emergency department because we are the safety net. And when patients are in crisis, whether it's a physical problem or a mental problem, they come to us. We get them stabilized. But the problem is there's nowhere to put them afterwards when they have a mental health crisis. Isn't that true?
Indeed.
So what, you know, what do you do? I mean, it uses resources for the ER. It affects everybody's access to care because the ERs get backed up because patients are kept, you know, sometimes days. It requires a lot of staff in the ER, too. And, you know, what have you been doing in your ERs, or what has your state been trying to do to ease this problem?
Well, I would love to tell you that we've got a dramatic solution and we've fixed it. We still struggle, like so many. We've started to work on a number of approaches, though. First, you know, the state has decided to put in more resources as the budget is recovered. They're looking at reopening some beds. At the local level in our ERs, though, to be honest, many of us are trying to work to actually have patients that are detained admitted to the hospital into medical beds. So that they can receive treatment in a more appropriate place, even if it's a med-surg ward. But at least in an inpatient bed that's quiet and not having, let's be honest, the noise and the stimulus that's the ER,
right,
that's probably not good for anybody's mental health, least of all for 24 hours a day,
right,
and somebody who's struggling with issues. And we're working to try to, you know, address the outpatient issues and see if we can coordinate with many of those groups to get people more rapid access, you know. But the challenges are immense, and I don't think we've got a great solution going anywhere right now.
Yeah, and I understand that, you know, with this great deinstitutionalization, we wanted people with mental health problems to access outpatient services if they're not in crisis, meaning, you know, suicidal at the time. But you can't even, I mean, you brought up a good point. They're, you know, often these patients try and self-medicate, so they do have a drug problem. You know, that creates a problem then. And there aren't even enough outpatient treatments. People, you know, waiting for months. And, of course, we don't know the specifics of this case in Virginia, but I'm sure, you know, it was apparent, and this, you know, poor child that was probably suicidal was left to his, you know, often we do leave patients, you know, to a responsible adult when it's a child, right? You know, you're going to take care of your child and watch them. And this just illustrates how a tragedy can really happen. I mean, do you think part of the problem, too, we need to destigmatize the idea of mental health? I have a close friend who has a son that's bipolar, and he's had lots of problems in and out of institutions and issues. And she said to me, you know, people look at you funny when you say that, yet if you said you had a child that had cancer and they were in and out of hospitals, you know, you would get such sympathy. And she said, you know, you don't see that. You tell them, you know, your child has a psychiatric condition, and people look at you sideways. And that's part of the problem, I think, don't you?
Oh, agreed. And that burden of not being able to talk about it, you know, has to be a challenge for families as they struggle through the disease process and caring for a loved one. Getting rid of the stigma, getting them access to care, and making sure that they have that ability is critical. But so many families are struggling to even get access when they want help for their loved one. Here in Washington, we actually rank last in the country in terms of our inpatient beds. At the last ASAP report card, we had about four beds per 100,000 lives, which is remarkably small at the state level, worse in the country. And so when you've got a loved one that finally makes that tough decision to bring their family in, you know, despite all the stigma, and they run into this barrier, it's got to be incredibly demoralizing, you know, and we've had tough conversations with family who want us to detain their loved ones. And you add on to that, in our state, a very unique system where the doctor doesn't even make the decision about detention. A state agent, county-designated mental health provider, comes in and makes the decision, and where the doctor may say, this person's suicidal or gravely disabled, a state agent makes the decision and says they're not detained. And
wow.
Families struggle with that.
Even if the person would have a psychiatrist that's saying that, it's still the psychiatrist doesn't even get to say if he's been treating the patient for a while?
We have had cases of even the psychiatrist getting
wow.
overridden. And definitely as an ER doc, I've gone to blows on more than one occasion fighting for my patients to say, look, this person is in trouble. And we need to get them help. And, you know, the challenge is they're seeing the state resources and no inpatient bed. They say no space, not needing services enough. And it's incredibly demoralizing to families when we go back and say, I'm so sorry, you know, I agree with you completely. Your loved one is in trouble. And mm-hmm. I can't detain them. Or mm-hmm. State won't detain them. Very
right.
frustrating.
Well, you know, I guess it's a start. The Affordable Care Act is, you know, starting to say, look, at least for private types of insurance, that there needs to be some kind of parity, right? I mean, whether you're in crisis with a physical illness or a mental illness, as we learn more and more about disease processes and the brain and the mind and the, you know, neurotransmitter disbalance and things related to psychiatric illnesses, it does become a little more physical. So do you think that will help some?
I think it will. I mean, it will at least provide insurance coverage.
Right.
Whether or not it provides access to care, again, we're back to the fundamental challenge.
Right.
so I don't think that's necessarily going to fix it, but it's a start. It's an ability to at least recognize it and hopefully begin to get people access to care, begin to get coverage, and hopefully provide the resources to build more outpatient or inpatient services. I think it's a step in the right direction. Again, I don't think it's a solution until we as a community, and I don't mean just the ERs, but all of healthcare and as citizens, recognize the need for resources on this critical issue. We're going to be stuck in this tough box for a while.
Yeah, no, it is. It's so true, because just because you're covered for it, if there's no place for you to go, there really is nothing to do. We only have about a minute or two, but the idea of putting them into a regular bed is good. Obviously, you can't do that if they are extremely suicidal, right? Or they need some type of a locked environment. Then that's a patient that maybe you can't put into a regular hospital bed, correct?
And the reality is our ERs in the state, very few of them have locked rooms. Many of them are treating them in a medical-type bed in the ER. And so moving them upstairs is not ideal, but keeping them in the ER isn't either. You know, the ERs for a long time have been kind of the canary in the coal mine. And we're in real trouble. And we're seeing it with our patients that are getting hurt. We're seeing it with patients that are declining access and that are staying with us for a long time. And we've got to recognize this and move it forward. But even if we look to get patients to the inpatient wards or rooms, the reality is that doesn't fix the problem. It just moves it. So we may find temporary solutions like that, but we've really got to start tackling the fundamental issue of a lack of resources, a lack of access to care, and a lack of interest by many to make sure that institutions or inpatient hospital beds that do psychiatric treatment are available. And that's our fight that we need to start working on aggressively.
Yeah, I agree. We've put up observation units in ERs to keep people and unplug the flow. I always say the emergency department staff are bravely holding the system together with Band-Aids, but it really needs major surgery. So I think that's an important point. I want to thank my guest for being on. This is ER 101. I'm Dr. Lee Vanocur on Radio MD. Tune in to your health.